We're listening to early music performed on instruments used back in the day. Joining me are Joan Kimball and Bob Wiemken, artistic directors of the renowned Philadelphia-based early music ensemble, PFARO. Joan, Bob, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much.
So the website says PFARO, the Renaissance Band. Distinguish that, if there is one, from early music, Baroque music, medieval music, Renaissance music.
Well, the name situates us very clearly in the 15th and 16th century. It was a word that was used to as a kind of a surname for a wind player. If you were a wind player in Italy, you might be Stefano Pifaro, Stephen the Wind Player. And it also has reference to the double reed family, the early oboe that we call the shawm. And that is an instrument that we play and actually lies in the origin, the roots of the Pifaro ensemble back in the 1980s.
So take us back to that day. What part of the populace was performing and in what capacity? To entertain family and friends or a touring band?
I think it's a little of all of that, but it's been a part of our efforts and our mission to reproduce what was the professional ensemble of the day. And that consisted of a reed and brass ensemble. They were hired by the courts. They were hired by the cathedrals. They were hired by the cities. And they played in just about any occasion.
Right. They all played other wind instruments. They played recorders. They played crumb horns. They even played bagpipes at times. Many of them played stringed instruments as well. And in our ensemble, we have two people who play both double reeds and recorders and plucked stringed instruments, harp and lute.
Another instrument I never heard of, have at it, the duthin.
That's a fascinating instrument that we really actually knew very little about. There were references to it, but we didn't have any original surviving ones until they excavated, pulled up from the deep of the English Channel, the Henry VIII flagship, the Mary Rose. And on this, they found an instrument that we're pretty sure we could identify as the duthin. It has been copied by a number of instrument makers, both in England and in the United States. It differs from the oboe-like shawm in that it is a cylindrically bored instrument, rather soft. And in fact, there was reference to what was called the still shawm.
To what extent do the originals exist, and is there anything analogous, say, to a Stradivarius?
Yeah, that's a very good question. There are some 60 early bassoons, the Dulcian family, in existence in various states of repair or disrepair. So we've been working with instrument makers around the world to draw upon the original, but then to make a playable copy. And that takes a fair amount of experimentation. We don't even know if the ones that survive were the good ones. The ones that survive may have been the ones that weren't so good because they weren't played. So there's a lot of work to be done to get from the original to a fully professional playing copy.
I understand you work with an instrument maker in Portland, Oregon.
That's right. I have been, for a number of years, I have been working with him on making bagpipes. He makes all the wooden parts and then gives them to me, and I make the bags and set them up with reeds and get them ready to send out to people. Yes.
We've also commissioned instruments that have not been reproduced yet, the copies of surviving originals. Particularly for us, we're very proud of an instrument that is, we call the octave-based dulcian. It's the predecessor of the contrabassoon. And there are four surviving originals, three which are probably finished instruments, one that was probably a prototype that the maker produced. And a great maker, Martin Praetorius, in a little town called Baden-Bossel, Germany, reproduced this original that lives in a castle south of Dresden. And it is the only copy of this original in the world right now.
So in discussing this unusual instrumentation, are you aware of any modern applications for these older instruments, either in classical music or otherwise, rock and roll?
Well, that's a good question to ask, because indeed we have experimented with this. In 2008, we commissioned Kyle Smith, who's a composer from Philadelphia, to write a full Vespers service for us with early instruments and choir. And we weren't sure what we were going to get, but we ended up by a most amazing work that we premiered in 2008 with The Crossing, the amazing group in town here that primarily focuses on contemporary music. And at that same year, we were able to make a recording of it as well. And since that time, we've been asked to perform it with other groups out of town and hope to do even more of this in the future. It's a wonderful combination of early hymn tunes set in modern idiom that Kyle has put together and has received rave reviews from everywhere.
I believe some 16 CDs under your belt, although some for that rinky-dink label Deutsche Grammophon, and
right.
An extensive touring schedule. Do you consider yourself primarily a performing or studio recording band?
We're essentially a performing band. We do most all of our work here in Philly. We're celebrating this year our 30th anniversary for the local concert series. And the concert series has been the springboard for us. We design concerts for presentation on the series, which then lead to touring programs and have led to then the recordings that we've produced, some with Deutsche Grammophon, with Dorian. We're now with Parma Navona. But we've also released four recordings, one that's just come out, which is a live compilation drawn from the past 10 years of programs presented here live in Philadelphia.
You noted that you play extensively Philadelphia-based, but let's quickly note that your reach goes to Canada and Europe and that this music originally derived in Europe. How are you received there?
The audiences in Europe are just amazing.
How so?
We play to houses of 1,000, 1,200 people, especially at the large music festivals. For instance, the Tage Alte Musik in Regensburg, Germany, where we've performed about seven different programs over the course of the last 15 years or so, 20 years.
Are these festivals defined by this genre of music?
Yes, they're early music festivals, everything from medieval to Baroque and into classical. So the term early spans a broad perspective, and we fit into that kind of medieval Renaissance period. And I think they have a kind of sense of ownership to the music, since it is European music. For the most part, we have played in South America at probably the largest early music festival in the world in Bolivia. And there's a great deal of New World music produced in Central and South America, based largely on European styles, but with the integration of indigenous music and instruments and peoples. And that has been very successful as well.
That sounds fascinating. Have you dabbled in any of that?
We have a recording. In fact, our latest commercial release has been Los Ministriles in the New World, to the ministriles were the wind players of the professional bands. And it presents music that was written on the continent, Central and South American continents, or brought over from Spain.
When you perform at a festival in Europe, are you among a very few American ensembles?
It depends on the festival. In general, it's been there may be one or two other American groups, especially, for example, at the Tage Alte Musik Regensburg, which is one of the biggest early music festivals in Europe that happens once a year. Sometimes we're the only American group. It just, again, it depends on the festival.
Now, I cited renowned at the onset, and indeed, it's the Google Cultural Institute's launch of a new online exhibition, and PFRO is apparently one of 13 U.S. partners in the performing arts category. Congratulations on that. I went to that site. It's wonderful. How were you selected?
Well, it's still a little bit of a mystery to us. There is something that Google has called Google Gallery. You can put your works up there. You have to apply because it has to obviously be up to a certain standard. So we applied for Google Gallery because we're having a big production next year as part of a big grant that we got from Pew, The Musical World of Don Quixote. And so we applied for that, and we didn't hear for a while, and we got it. And then soon after that, we heard that, well, would you like to be a member of this new Google Cultural Institute? We said, sure. And all of a sudden, within the course of 2 weeks, we had to supply a tremendous amount of visual and oral material. So we luckily were able to pull together from our cache of photos and videos and recorded material. So it's really fun to see all that material up there.
Piffero's in the midst of their 30th season and concerts locally of 17th century German Christmas music this coming weekend. Describe what's on the docket.
Right. Well, this is rather, I think, an historic event because it's a big collocation of three early music ensembles in the area: Piffero, Tempesta di Mare, the Baroque Orchestra, and Choral Arts Philadelphia, the choral ensemble that focuses primarily on early music, but still does other music as well.
Is this a first-time collaboration of the three?
Of all three, yes. Piffero has performed with Choral Arts in the past, but this is the first time that we've done it all together. So the project is quite large-scale, as you can imagine. Strings and winds and voices and two little organs, theorbos, which are giant lutes with long necks, a big harp. So it's quite an impressive instrumental forces for this.
This coming weekend's concert represents a side of Renaissance early Baroque music making that doesn't often get represented, and that is it will be orchestral in color with all of our wind players, the string players of bowed strings and plucked strings of Tempesta di Mare, and the choral element will represent the kind of thing that was happening at the time, but that doesn't always get reproduced in modern times, in part because of the financial requirements of putting together this large a show.
Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on your inclusion in the Google Cultural Institute launch. Best of everything to you in 2016 going forward.
Thank you very much, Dave.
So apropos of the holiday season, let's go out with a little Christmas-themed music. Here in performance, artistic directors of the renowned Philadelphia-based early music ensemble Piffero, Joan Kimball, and Bob Wiemken. Thank you.